As the UN met on Tuesday to discuss the situation, a Syrian refugee currently living in the Netherlands challenged world leaders to take action and to equip refugees like himself to help their own people. UN Radio recorded this part of Mohamed Badran's speech.
To end the violence now in Syria and protect civilians, to guarantee safe routes for all refugees and to stop put our lives on hold, to empower refugees to lead projects for refugees so that we can help our people.
Mohamed Badran talking at the UN on Tuesday. It's not just refugees who are feeling disappointment at the collapse of the ceasefire. I spoke to Chris, the Syria and Turkey response manager from World Vision, to find out what it's like on the ground in the region.
After, you know, the attempt at a ceasefire, it's really just this overwhelming sense of disappointment. What's it going to take to get to the point where this conflict in Syria is stopped once and for all? And agencies like World Vision can help people to rebuild their lives.
Now, this is going to have huge effects for groups like yourselves, isn't it? Because the UN has suspended convoys into really the areas where people most desperately need aid.
Yeah, the effect of the convoy is actually quite complicated. So absolutely, as you said, the UN has decided to temporarily cease convoys. That has a direct effect on us. In some cases, we do work with the UN and they provide us with the supplies. World Vision feels confident that we'll be able to work around that and somehow be able to continue our activities. But for other agencies that rely on the UN to supply them with food, this could be really destructive. The next thing is obviously that the people on the other end of those convoys, the communities that are waiting for assistance, are going to be disappointed. And in this case, the aid was meant to be delivered to Aleppo, which we've all seen in the news over the last few weeks, how these disturbing images about what's been going on there. So these communities have been without assistance since July, and whilst a lot of agencies have helped to stockpile items, they're starting to run out. So it's that effect on the communities that's really the big thing. But for us, the humanitarian workers, whether we're Syrian or whatever nationality we are, I think, again, it's that overwhelming sense of disappointment. We were hoping that this convoy would get off safely and that we'd be able to follow other convoys or somehow get access to this community that needs our help. And unfortunately, that hasn't been the case.
Now, there were huge hopes, weren't there, that this US-Russian brokered ceasefire could be the start of a new political chapter. Despite the ongoing civil war, there might be some signs of humanity, as it were, when it comes to actually letting aid in. What really needs to happen? Why has the ceasefire broken down? What are people saying in the region?
I guess I'm trying to maintain a sliver of hope that something good will come of this. I think the really strong statements that have been made by the UN and other agencies about this and, you know, the continued violations of international humanitarian law that have happened in Syria over the last few weeks, I'm really hoping that something good will come of this horrible event. You know, we have to remember it's you know, people were killed in the incident, people going to help those were also injured, you know, communities haven't received the aid, and, you know, many agencies like World Vision are now kind of looking at what we're doing and being extra cautious about our work. So I really hope that this might be the trigger for getting towards a peaceful resolution in Syria, which is what we all are hoping for.
Chris, just finally, as fellow Christians, how can we be praying for the situation? How can we be best praying for people who are working in the situation and the people who need the aid themselves?
I think there's a couple of things that have to happen. The first is that I'd really ask people to think of us in their prayers and pray that we do reach, that the people who have influence of any sort will get together and lead towards a peaceful resolution. I think the other thing is to really pray for the safety of those in Syria, particularly the humanitarian workers who are being incredibly brave in this situation and going in, knowing the danger that they're in. They go in day after day to try and help the communities there. So if your listeners could remember those things in their prayers, I'm sure we'd all really appreciate it.
Chris from World Vision, the Syria and Turkey response manager for the charity based in Turkey at the moment. And let's remember them in our prayers as we head through our weekend. Persecution charity Open Doors are working to raise awareness of the situation for Christians specifically in Syria and Iraq. And I want to play you this clip from a video on their website, opendoorsuk.org.
In Iraq and Syria, the church is a light in the darkness. We cannot stand by and watch that light be extinguished. They are our family. And this is the hour of their greatest need.
That's so important to remember, isn't it? The church is a light in the darkness. They're our family, and this is the hour of their greatest need. Beth Fuller works for Open Doors. Beth, just how bad is it for Christians in Syria right now?
Life for Christians in Syria at the moment is incredibly difficult. They not only face the same challenges as the entire population of Syria with the ongoing war and just getting caught up in the violence that that's causing, but they also face targeting by Islamic extremists. Infamously, there's the self-proclaimed Islamic State, which operates in Syria, but there are other less well-known Islamic extremist groups that really target Christians and churches and would like to see the church just eradicated from the Middle East completely.
And it can't be easy, to put it very, very mildly, when you bear in mind how often some of the cities are changing hands. One minute you've got rebels in charge, one minute you've got Islamic State in charge, the next you've got the Syrian government in charge.
Yes, that's right. The changing security situation in the country does make it hard for people to try and rebuild their lives. What we would ideally like to see is for the Christians in Syria to be able to stay there, to be able to rebuild their country, to rebuild their lives, to start new businesses, be in education, all of these things. But as you say, the situation is constantly changing. People are having to keep on moving perhaps multiple times in a short space of time, and that does make it very difficult for these people, not just Christians, of course, but everyone in that nation at this time.
Beth, we heard earlier on the programme about a refugee who's now living in the Netherlands who was addressing the UN conference earlier this week, and he was calling for the world to really step up and help refugees, help their own people. And of course, as Christians in Syria, it is part of their DNA, isn't it, to be the hands and feet of God in their communities. But surely it's also part of our DNA, part of our job, to help them where we can.
Yes, definitely. We at Open Doors really want to see the church in the Middle East playing a vital role in rebuilding their region, in rebuilding their nations. And Christians and church leaders in Syria and also in Iraq have really asked us to help them to speak up, to raise their concerns, which is why we've actually started a petition as part of our Hope for the Middle East campaign, called the 1 Million Voices of Hope petition. And we're hoping to see 1 million people across the world signing this petition and asking for Christians in Syria and also in Iraq to have equality with other citizens in their nations, to have dignity, to have dignified living conditions, and also to have a role to play in rebuilding their nations when the time comes for that rebuilding process and reconciliation to begin. So we'd really encourage anyone who's listening to head to our website, which is opendoorsuk.org, and to sign that petition to help Christians in the Middle East to have their voices heard and to be able to play that role that they want to play.
And Beth, just finally then, if we've got refugees on our own neighbourhoods, maybe even coming along to our own churches, how can we best be helping them?
Well, Open Doors primarily works with displaced people within Syria and Iraq and the surrounding region. But if people are interested in helping refugees here in this country, I'd really encourage you to look at the work of Citizens UK and also Home for Good. They're both really great organisations who are looking at how we can host refugees here in this country, how we can welcome them into our churches and our communities, and they do really great work.
Beth Fuller from Open Doors, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
It's good to remember that there are practical ways we can help, even in such an awful situation as the situation in Syria at the moment. Of course, as we went through the week, there were more civilian fatalities in the country. An airstrike near Aleppo killed 5 international aid workers, including nurses. The UN have now decided to continue cautiously with some convoys, but the need for prayer for Syria, for civilians, aid workers, and the church in the region is more urgent than ever.
This podcast is a production of Transworld Radio UK. For more information, go to our website at twr.org.uk.